Hello and welcome to today's podcast. Over the last 140 years, Zimmer Austria have pioneered many innovations and revolutionary technologies for screen and digital printing, coating, dyeing, steaming, and technical textiles. Zimmer technologies serve applications for areas such as home textiles, wall coverings, fashion, upholstery, towels, blankets, technical textiles, non-wovens, paper, and even glass fibre. It's our pleasure today to welcome Tony Naschberger, the CEO of Zimmer, and Andreas Rass, Commercial Director. Hello, both of you, and welcome to today's podcast.
Morning. Hi, good morning. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here, really is. Tony, first of all, could you share a brief history of Zimmer and when the company was founded?
Yeah, Zimmer was founded about 140 years ago in Bohemia. Today is in Czech, in the corner of the Czech Republic. And Zimmer was founded and started in textile machinery. And after the World War, the family of Zimmer had to move out and because of political issues and after World War issues, and finally ended up here in Kufstein, Austria, on the west part of Austria, and about 100 kilometers south of Munich. And the company today has two manufacturing sites. One is in Kufstein, where we are taking care about all issues of digital printing and carpet manufacturing, and Zimmer Klagenfurt is taking care of screen printing and textile coating machinery. And here in Kufstein, we started digital printing about 45 years ago, where we introduced at that time the so-called Chromodronic, which was renamed later on into ChromoJet. And yeah, and since then we are in digital printing. And what is our differentiation to other companies? Number one, we really invest a lot in process technology here. Mm-hmm. We not only build a printing machine, we deliver also a lot of process know-how. We deliver complete lines from including steaming, washing, drying. We do also back coating. We have a wide network in the with chemical suppliers and fiber suppliers, and I think that makes us very unique, and we are very well known for our service. So finally, the service, especially in digital machines, service is a key for success.
Yeah, it certainly is. You began those digital innovations, Tony, didn't you, in around 1976? How do you think digital technologies have disrupted the textile and carpet industry?
Yeah, 1976, we had the idea to do something digital, but at that time, digital printing was not existing at all, and mm-hmm. so we built a valve-based machine, the ChromoJet or Chromodronic at that time. And we were really suffering from lack of technology. I mean, we had to drive the first printer with the HP mainframe computer with 256 kilobyte of memory, and a couple wow. years later we purchased the first hard disk for a lot of money with 5 megabyte, and to drive the printer. But that was the beginning. But in the meantime, almost all carpet printing is done with our technology, and from screen printing in carpet, not much has been left. I think about 35 to 40 screen printing machines were in operation worldwide, 4 meter, 5 meter wide. Today, I think one or two are left in operation, and all the rest is moved into digital. And finally, we will see also in textile, finally, almost everything is moving digitally. Mm-hmm. And we are part of it, and I think we don't have to discuss all the advantages of digital printing. Digital printing is still price wise not competitive with screen printing in some fields, but especially it's more. It's not a technology-driven technology. It's more ecological-driven technology, because we are short in water, we are short in energy, we are short in anything and everything, and digital printing is one of the way out.
Absolutely, Tony. Could you? Just a little side question here. Then, having seen such an incredible transformation in the carpet industry, how long did that take? And did the disruption kind of accelerate quickly?
The first couple of years, I mean, we started in 1976, and I think it took us almost 10 years to stabilize the technology and also to bring the advantage to our customers. And so the first 10 years we didn't sell a lot, mm-hmm. a lot of pilot machines, but there was not a real breakthrough. But later on it accelerated, and I think it typically took almost 20 years to really gain market share. I see more or less the same in the textile industry. In textile industry, maybe it's a little bit faster, but it takes time.
Yeah, that's kind of where we are in textiles, isn't it? We're kind of 20 years on from when it all started, really, and it just seemed to just be absolutely accelerating right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's great news for us who work within the industry. It's also fantastic news for the planet too. So it's a win-win, a win-win for everybody. Tony, thank you. Thank you for your answers there. That's great. Andreas, could I ask you a question? Which sectors of the marketplace and which product groups do your digital technologies now serve?
Well, as Tony started already, so we still have the ChromoJet as a valve-based technology available for the very heavy carpets, which we still sell and certainly service to our customers. And since about 10 years, we have the Colaris system, piezo-based printed digital printer in our product portfolio, which we use for heavy textiles applications, but also for the carpet printing very successfully in the last years. All this technology comes together, as mentioned, with the necessary pre and post treatment. So from entry units down to the steamer, washer, dryer, even color kitchens if necessary. And what we also do in our main field, which is still the carpet printing business, is to build back coating lines. So from a technology perspective, this was the first step. What we do on the ink side, so I think we have a very broad range of fibers what we can print on. So on the ink side, we have reactive inks for cotton. We have acid metal complex inks for nylons. We have dispersed inks for polyester printing. Certainly pigment printing is also part of our portfolio. But we also have these specialties where not many others are stepping in, which is cationic ink for acrylic or modified polyesters. And we have VAT inks, which gives you the best light and wash fastness, And I think we spoke about this, Debbie, in our preparation session. We have also two lines running now in the UK, which is it's quite a big step forward in the digital printing environment. From a market segments we serve, certainly what we are well known for is the carpet industry. In the carpet industry, all the logo mats, the rugs, the wall-to-wall carpets, and the carpet tiles. In the textile segment, it's as I said at the beginning, we are still very much focused on the heavier fabric because this is where we are coming from, and this is where we feel comfortable to add value to our customers. That we're talking about terry towels, upholstery, furniture fabrics, window fashion, blankets, heavier bed linens, so pretty broad portfolio. And when it comes to the more technical piece of the market, the technical textiles, since quite a bit of time, we are looking into the military camouflage printing. So not only the decoration of a fabric, but also to functionalize the fabric with infrared reflectance control, and all this we are able to build here and sample for our customers, and that's quite an interesting field we want to go into much further in the future. In a similar area is also the narrow fabrics, so belts and ribbons, especially the belts. There are a lot of military applications, what you see nowadays, and what we learn on the broad fabric, we can also, on the white fabric, we bring also back on the more narrow fabric. And with our pretty broad portfolio on print heads and available applications, we also stepped into the other OEM development partnerships, so serving to partners technology for additive manufacturing, for example. But this is something what we do pretty much outside of our standard business setup, and let's see what's coming out there.
Constantly evolving.
Absolutely.
Nobody can ever stand still, can they? Just kind of actually now jumping back slightly in a question. Andreas, how big is the carpet industry by volume meterage? And just to give our listeners really an indication of scale, how many meters are now printed digitally every year?
So we had a bit of a discussion around this, Tony and I, and we looked into the market data. So our latest estimate is around 200 to 250 million square meter are printed annually on the globe, digital printed. So really a significant amount. And compared to maybe only 20 million square meters, which are printed on a screen. So, you could
90%.
Yeah, it's a significant difference between screen print and digital print. So you see how far the technology is already placed in the market and replaced the screen printing in carpet.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to have this conversation again, won't it, in 5 or 6 years' time, and compare those stats to digital textiles and see how that's swinging.
Yeah, that will be an interesting. Yeah. Look back. So what we you asked also about the total market size. We assume that the printed carpet makes about 7% of the total carpet market. So you see there is a lot of space to grow.
So certainly is, yeah,
more than 90% is untouched for us. So it's an interesting field, and there is still slight growth foreseeable. So market analysts are talking somewhere between 4 and 5% of combined annual growth rate, which we will see how also the pandemic etc. are going to affect.
Okay, that's great. Where is the biggest volume manufactured currently, Andreas? And do you see a swing towards reshoring in those industries?
Yeah, that's
a big question.
It's a big question. So the easier question is where is the biggest volume manufactured? So certainly the biggest volume is manufactured still in the US. Mm-hmm. Globally, it's the biggest producer of carpets, but it's also the biggest consumer of carpets. You see a significant installed base and also production capacity in China, Turkey, Egypt, Belgium, which has a long history in carpets. But you also see some growing countries like Uzbekistan, for example. Those are countries which are just ramping up. What we see is from a trend that some of the Chinese production is moving to India and Turkey. So capacities are shifting a little mm-hmm. bit. There are different reasons for that, but certainly one of the reasons is
political.
It's political that some countries, especially big carpet producing countries, are introducing market regulations which make it very, very difficult to import into the domestic market to protect the local carpet manufacturing. Yeah, that's
okay.
That's a. We have to deal with it. Our customers have to deal with it, but that's the nature of the business. Where we clearly see the high price segments are staying close to the customers where they are selling there, because quality, short turnaround times, stability in supply and quality, this is key. So this is not something what you see going away from the higher price countries to lower price countries. And when it comes to promotion products, where we have especially our logomats customers or the promotional towel printers, this will always stay very close to the market because the short runs, the short turnaround times, this is key for this market segment.
That's great. It's interesting that when you start to dive deeper into reshoring, all the various reasons, you know, it's not, like you say, it's not just supply and demand, is it? There's so many other components to that winning formula, really. It'll be interesting to watch how that now develops. Another question for you, Andreas, I'm afraid. How do you achieve such deep penetration in the textile surface across multiple ink sets and processes? I think a lot of people will be interested to understand this.
buy a Zimmer unit.
Can you tell us? Yeah.
Buy a Zimmer unit, you will see it. No, look, this is exactly what Tony mentioned at the very beginning of his introduction of the company. It's know-how, what we gathered as Zimmer, what we gathered together with our customers, but also with our partners from the machinery, the chemical industry. It's the combination of the printhead. It's the combination of the pre-treatment of the different fabrics. It's also software-driven in the last years, looking what you can do with the right rib setup. It's big piece of the penetration story, and it's all about making what you're selling to your customers fitting the machine to their product. So when you're talking about printing a heavy carpet with 2.5 kilograms per square meter, you need a massive intro of the print line, meaning pre-steaming, pre-washing, whatsoever, chemicals. All this needs to be in combination with the print head, with the post-treatment. And this is very specific to the final product. So there is no one solution for everything. It's all about customizing your print lines.
Okay, great answer. Thank you so much, Tony. We do have a question here. As we move forward, what are the other unique challenges for printing heavy textiles and carpets, and how does your technology overcome them?
In general, I think all technical textiles and but also carpets. And if I talk about carpet, we are not only talking about the cheap mats, but we are also talking about contract for an office or for a hotel. It has to last long, and if it something has to last long, it's not only the color we are talking about. We are talking about light fastness, wash fastness, weather fastness, and so on. And here I think we can bring in our know-how, and we can. Depending on the final application, we always have to choose also the right color setup, the right chemistry, the right process to match what a customer is expecting. And here, Zimmer, on one side, our customer benefit from our open ink system. That means open ink system means we are working with. Several ink suppliers, because one ink supplier is good in light fastness products, one ink supplier is good in wash fastness products, one ink supplier has the best price for the cheap stuff, and here we have a portfolio of suppliers which finally our customer has a benefit from. And In addition, of course, we especially in the technical textile market, we are working closer and closer with for military defense products. I mean, which have their own rules and own history, and we are talking about things nobody can imagine, and what is coming, what will come next. And here, of course, we also partner with other suppliers who have know-how in the defense market, in fiber market, in. Finally, it's always a combination of process, chemistry, fibers, and finally technology.
Everything in unison, isn't it? It's. But I guess though, because you offer the ability to source inks to support your technology, you kind of cast the net wider, don't you? In that you can really fine tune. For every single business model's product expectations, against, as you say, you know, because there's so much going on in fiber technology, etc., and you know the incredible durability that you have to have for carpets and technical textiles, it helps you fine tune everything to that point of durability, and printed perfection, of course, as well.
Yeah, on one side, we have the know-how, but also we have our R&D center here, where finally I think we operate eight Colaris printer with different ink setups, and so we can all eight are equipped with different inks, and we do a lot of combinations of inks and of processes and. Here we really can fine-tune the number one, the chemistry. We can fine-tune the process, and before a manufacturer is placing an order, so he knows what he will get. We also can do all the testings from light fastness to rub fastness, wash fastness, and so on. And this is, I think, here we are really unique in this field. I mean, of course, we in Austria we are not we cannot compete on Chinese or Indian or any other machinery. So we have to provide a better service, and one part of the service is also a very good. Recommendation to the customer what he needs, and for this we also try to understand first always his market and to understand what is the final application, because then we can offer the right package to satisfy finally the end user.
Yeah, you're building for success, aren't you? And as you say, it's all about fine-tuning all of those various components with your knowledge, history and skill set to make sure that the client's experience is exemplary, really.
Because in digital printing, I mean, in screen printing, there is a know-how around for 70, 80 years now. In digital printing, the know-how is, there is a know-how around, but not deep know-how. And many of our customers, they only have an idea, and they think inkjet printing is very simple, and all problems are solved. But inkjet printing is like any other technology. It's a lot of details have to be taken care and. And finally, also inkjet printing is needed, and everything will move into digital, and know-how and will build up around. But at the moment, I think it's not easy to find.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not easy to find, and I think that's also to do with the fact that the traditional industry was kind of decimated, wasn't it, in the late 90s when everything moved to the Far East. So I think sometimes within Europe, in this whole sector, there is still a skills shortage because the textile industry lost a huge portion of its knowledge at that time. The same thing happened in the States as well, didn't it, around that time. So we need those people back right now so that you can put align digital technologies with textile history, textile technicians, fabric technologies, as you say, ink chemists and all of those things. They're all part of that soup of textiles, aren't they, that go alongside digital printing. Tony, thank you so much for that answer. We have another couple of questions to go, but I am conscious of time. Tony, again, we did touch on this earlier, actually. In summary, how do you feel digital technology has enabled new business opportunities for specialist sectors, and what are they? We have touched on this previously, but if there's any you'd like to add.
I think in printing, and what we are working on is let's call it printing on demand or web to print, where we really drive the printing and printing on carpet and printing on mats and so on, directly connected to web shops, so that the customer is really part of the manufacturing process. So he can order something on a web shop, and it goes directly to the printer without anybody has to step in. And finally, why we are ordering with Amazon is because we know in 3 days they are going to deliver it. And the same will happen in the printing industry or textile or carpet industry. You order something and you expect in 3 days you have it. And that's why we also have to adapt our technology to concentrate on short runs, and 100 pieces will be 100 times one piece. And it's exactly the same process as you when you order one piece. So, and here we are doing a lot of software. It's all about software. Mm-hmm. And finally, I think we will see everything will become individual, and a customer doesn't have to think about number of colors, doesn't have to think about delivery time and also the price. And finally, it comes down to ecology and to environment and to energy and it's a transaction going on.
Okay. Thank you, Andreas. Do you have anything to add to that question? What does the future hold for on-demand production, and how do you think this sector is going to continue to evolve?
Look, a big thing for us and our customers, but also for the consumer, is the sustainability of the process and of the final product. We are all aware in the carpet and textile industry that we are in a very resource consuming industry when it comes to energy, to water consumption. And there are things we need to work on as a whole manufacturer ecosystem, which starts when you just talk about printing, maybe moving more into the pigment printing field, which mm-hmm. demands the acceptance of the market, of the consumers. You have a different touch, you have different fastness level, but there, it comes with a lot of advantages, which is the water and the energy consumption. But you need to make sure that you sell it in the right way, and people are aware, the consumer is aware of the advantage of the footprint, of the ecological footprint of this different product. Where we also see is the more life cycle view, that having a sustainable final product does not mean only the wet process, or the finishing process needs to be improved. We see, for example, that you need to start working already at the raw material, at the fiber, to modify your fiber. For example, polyester with dispersed printing is also very energy and water consuming process. If you modify your polyester and have a cationic dyeable polyester, for example, you can use different dye stuff classes, which is going to reduce the process time and energy consumption and water consumption by more than 50%. So those are things the market is going to move towards, and we will be certainly part of it. And when it comes to a total life cycle view, if you look at the carpet has a different fiber at the pile, the backing, is a different material. The back coating is a different material. It's almost impossible to recycle this carpet. So we will see in this sector also move towards more single material structures, which makes the recyclability part of the solution to have a more sustainable textile and carpet manufacturing environment.
That's very, very interesting, Andreas, isn't it? How the whole, yeah, it's just the whole, everybody in that value chain, everybody in that supply chain really has to really think about, fine tune and really think about every single component of the products that we now purchase. And under the microscope, really look at the production process right from the beginning, its very beginnings, whether it's synthetic or cellulose as a fiber, all the way through the process to ensure, you know, that we can go kind of, is it cradle to gate, so we can actually now start to recycle everything. And it really is a tribute, I guess, to digital technologies in here as well, that we can, you can fine tune those ink sets and adjust the chemistry in order to comply with, I guess, regulation as it moves forward, but also the ability to print on so many different and new fiber technologies that are coming through. It's so exciting, isn't it, right now?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why we are in this field, right?
Absolutely. Tony, Andreas, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today. Tony, do you have anything to extra to add on what the future holds for production?
I think right now everybody is looking forward to be back in business as usual as we have been till 2 years ago. We are looking forward for the next exhibitions. We have a lot of new developments, especially on the carpet side, but also on the other technical textiles. Normally we have participated with 8 to 10 exhibitions. Last year there was nothing, and so for us the next exhibitions will be somewhere in China, but also in like Tomodex in Hannover, mm-hmm. Heimdex, and most important is for us the technical textile exhibitions, the tech textile. So yeah, we are hoping that in the next coming months, and especially next year, everything will be back to normal, and we can meet our customers and show what we have done in the meantime. And of course, we are We invite everybody who is interested in digital printing to visit us in our R&D center here in Kufstein, and all of you are most welcome.
I will definitely take you up on that invitation soon.
Come.
It's been fantastic to talk to both of you. It's incredible to hear how the agenda's rolling, how it's building, how sustainability, technology, everything is all kind of coming together right now. Thank you to both of you for your time. It really has been a pleasure.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks.
Great time.
Yep.
Thank you.